National Broadcasting Company invites you by transcription to join The Chase. There is always the hunter and the hunted, the pursuer and the pursued. It may be the voice of authority, or a race with death and destruction, the most relentless of the hunters. There are times when laughter is heard as counterpoint, and moments when sheer terror is the theme. But always there is the chase. And with the greedy, it's usually the devil takes the hindmost.
Driving too fast, Rodney.
We mustn't be late.
You really think your aunt is dying?
Message with urgent, Celia, and Aunt Victoria has been ill for a long time.
Oh, she'll live forever, that one. When you're that rich, you never die.
Now, Celia, we mustn't be disrespectful towards Aunt Vicky. Remember, I'm her favorite nephew.
She's also got a favorite niece.
Don't worry about my cousin Imogene. She doesn't stand a chance.
In the will?
Yes.
What makes you so sure?
Aunt Victoria never approved of the man Imogene married, Carl Pepper.
Well, I don't blame her. He's certainly crude.
Revolting.
Well, so's your cousin Imogene, for that matter.
Well, she's an utter mess.
How did you ever get mixed up with relatives like that, Rodney?
I had no choice, my dear. They were born to me, so to speak.
Oh. How much money does your Aunt Victoria have?
Oh, heaven knows. She's rolling in it. I dare say it may amount to $1 million or so, and it's all in cash.
Cash?
Yes, Aunt Victoria doesn't believe in investments, but I'm not so sure she believes in banks.
And where does she keep all her money?
We'll know soon enough.
Will we?
The time has come, Celia. I'm certain Aunt Victoria is going to tell me I'm inheriting her entire estate.
And what about Imogene?
She won't get a nickel.
You seem rather sure of yourself.
I have a plan,
Celia. A plan?
Yes, you know how Aunt Victoria detests gambling?
I certainly do. She had the temerity to scold me in public once because she found out I played a round of bridge.
Yes, she's mighty cracked on the subject, all right. And when she hears that Imogene's husband spends all his time at the racetrack, she'll go wild.
But as far as we know, he's a hard-working salesman. He sells corsets, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, he's a hard worker, I suppose, like all Bulgarians, and I don't think he's ever risked a nickel in his whole life. But Aunt Victoria doesn't know that, so...
You mean you're going to lie about him deliberately?
Of course.
How clever of you, darling.
It's a stroke of pure inspiration. In no time at all, I can make Carl and Imogene persona non grata with Aunt Vic. And, of course, her only other relatives are us.
I can hardly wait.
For Aunt Victoria to die?
Oh, you mustn't put it so bluntly, Rodney.
Oh, yes, you're quite right, Sylvie. After all, she is our aunt.
Our dear aunt.
By the way, that mink you wanted in January...
The silver blue.
If it's still available, we might price it.
Oh, darling.
As for me, that new convertible special they're putting out right now is just my type, Celia.
Well, we'll get it in blue to match my coat.
Blue. What a lovely shade.
We get off at the next station, Carl.
Yep.
We'll take a cab to Aunt Victoria.
Yeah, a cab. Oh, I'm not made of money, Imogene.
Well, you will be very soon.
Do you think the old lady will leave it all to us?
Every penny of it.
What makes you so sure?
I'm her favorite niece.
Well, she's got a nephew, too. That stuck-up little snob, Rodney Prawn. Every time I see that face of his, I feel like pulling one of my two-way stretches around it.
It's his wife who kills me. Always talking about her relatives in England. Now, she's no more English than I am, the touched-up blonde.
You know, I don't think your Aunt Victoria likes that dame, Imogene.
Likes her? Celia makes her positively ill. And when I get through telling my aunt a thing or three, Celia'll be lucky if she inherits Aunt Vicky's potted geranium.
Look, what are you going to say to her?
Well, you know what Aunt Victoria thinks of drinking, don't you?
Oh, do I? Why, the old hag turned four different colors once because I mentioned a yen for beer.
Well, she wouldn't leave the right time to a drunkard in the family.
Well, who's the drunkard?
Celia Prawn.
Really?
No, not really, stupid.
Oh.
Celia's too high hat to drink.
Uh-huh.
But I'm telling Aunt Vicky I saw dear cousin Celia as drunk as a coot at least 24 times.
Hmm.
I'm going to say that she spends every cent she has on liquor. And she's becoming a candidate for the alcoholic ward.
I say, that's not a bad idea, too.
Not bad. Oh, and when that dough is ours, am I going to have myself a spending spree?
Yeah, well, now, listen, honey, you can't go wild.
Who can't go wild? Whose money is this, anyway?
Well, actually, we'll both inherit it.
Rats, it's mine. When I spend it the way I want to spend it.
Mm-hmm. Well, girls will be girls, I guess.
Jewels. That's what I want. Paris frocks and sables, dripping in them. Gimme, 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 gimme.
Yeah, well, what about me, sugar?
Now, you'll get yours, Carl. Don't worry. We'll both collect. Just as soon as Aunt Victoria kicks the bucket.
Yeah, and that won't be too soon for me.
Who's there? Imogene?
It's Rodney, Aunt Victoria.
Rodney, huh? Let me look at you. Haven't changed much. When did I see you last?
2 years ago, Aunt Victoria, right after I was married.
Oh, yes, I remember now. Where's your wife?
She's inside, Aunt Victoria. Do you want to see her?
Not particularly. I suppose you know I'm very ill.
You don't sound very ill, Aunt Victoria.
Well, I am. Oh, I don't expect to die tomorrow, but my time is coming. And what's more, I don't care.
You don't?
I've lived my life, and I've lived it well. I'm prepared to leave it now because it's beginning to bore me. But I can't take my money with me.
Oh, Aunt Victoria, please don't talk that way. It hurts to hear you mention death. I love you so.
Well, don't break down just yet, Rodney. I'm about to discuss my will.
Your will?
As you probably know, I am a firm believer in keeping one's cash in one's home. Banks were never for me.
Then all your money is right here, Aunt Victoria, in this house.
Well hidden, I assure you.
And who is it left to?
I haven't made up my mind yet. And I may as well tell you I haven't made out the will. Of course, you and Imogene are my only surviving relatives.
Well, I think there's something you ought to know about Imogene's husband, Aunt Vicky. He's an incurable gambler.
He is?
Yes, I have definite proof of it. As a matter of fact, it was only last...
Who's there?
Darling Aunt Victoria, are you all right?
I'm still alive, Imogene.
Oh. So you're here, Rodney.
Obviously.
I want to talk to Aunt Victoria alone, Rodney, if you don't mind.
I was here first, Imogene, and I haven't finished what I had to say.
It can wait.
It cannot.
Now listen here, Rodney. Paul.
Silence. Both of you. You sound like a couple of alley cats.
I'm sorry, darling. Please, forgive me.
Where is the foundation salesman?
My husband's inside, Aunt Victoria. Would you like to see him?
No, thank you. But you might tell my cook to serve me a cup of tea. You attend to it, Rodney.
But Aunt Victoria...
Do what he asks, Rodney.
All right. But I'll be back.
Aunt Vicky, before he returns... There's something I think you ought to know.
What is it, Imogene?
I've discovered that Rodney's wife is an incurable alcoholic.
You don't say.
I have it on good authority that she's drinking herself to death. I just thought you might be interested.
So that I'll take it into account when I draw up my will.
Oh, I didn't mean it quite that way.
Well, at the moment, I don't have a will, Imogene. All the money's here in this house.
Who will you leave it to?
I haven't decided yet. I'll make up my mind very soon.
Well, I know you'll leave it to the ones who love you best, Aunt Victoria.
Most decidedly.
And you know who that is.
Yes. I think I do. At any rate, I'm afraid all this talking is beginning to tire me.
Oh.
Tell the cook not to disturb me with that tea. I'm going to take a little nap.
Yes, of course. Well, we'll stay here for the next few days, Aunt Victoria, until you're well and strong again.
Suit yourself.
And if you need anything, call, darling. Have a pleasant nap. Toodle-oo.
What a family. Idiots, liars, fools. A fine menagerie. But I'll give them a run for their money. I'll send them on a chase they'll never forget. It's just too bad. I won't be around to see.
It's come, Celia.
What?
The telegram. I received it at the office half an hour ago. It's from a cook. Aunt Victoria passed away last night.
How terrible.
Well, we must have period of mourning, Celia.
Well, I don't know why. We've been expecting her to go since we saw her last in June. It certainly took her long enough. She could have been more obliging about it.
Yes, well, we'll leave for her home immediately. There should be a reading of the will very shortly. As a matter of fact, her attorneys are here in town. Yes, I'd better call them.
Do that.
Yeah. Where's the phone book? Here we are. Rather odd that the wire was sent by the cook, not by her lawyer.
Oh, you think something's gone wrong?
Not as far as Aunt Victoria's favorite nephew is concerned. Hello? Ramsbeck and Hadley? Let me speak to Mr. Ramsbeck, please. Rodney Prawn. Mr. Ramsbeck? Yes, I'm calling about my Aunt Victoria. I've just been notified that the poor old soul has passed away. Yes, we're quite broken up about it. But I was wondering about her will and when the reading will take place. I thought... What did you say? Really? But there must be some mistake, Mr. Ramsbeck. But I mean... I see. Yes. Yes, of course. Thank you, anyway.
What happened?
Aunt Vicky left no will.
No will?
No, she told her attorney she didn't plan to make one. And they couldn't argue with her about it. She said her relatives would get exactly what was coming to them after she died.
But all that money. Where is it now?
Inside the house.
What?
It must be, seized. It's hidden somewhere. And by George, it's going to be finders keepers.
Finders keepers with $1 million at stake? Why, that's insane.
Get your coat.
But Rodney...
This is no time to talk, Celia. Get your things. I'm going to find that money if I have to take her place apart board by board.
What time is it, Carl?
9:25.
Well, those tests should be here any minute now.
Your cousin Rodney Prawn and his wife were notified, weren't they?
Of course they were. Stupid cook sent both of us wires at the same time. Well, I've sent her packing, and we'll take over from now on.
It's their car, Imogen.
Now, remember, not one word about money.
No, no.
I'm sure Aunt Victoria only mentioned hiding it here to me. And as soon as we get rid of them, we can start searching for it.
Get the car.
Look sad, you idiot.
Oh, no. Imogen.
Rodney. It's all over. They took her away this morning. How long have you two been here?
Well, we got here an hour before you did. Imogen fired the cook.
She did?
Yep.
What for? We didn't need her any longer. We can manage by ourselves.
Who's we, Imogen?
Well, I mean, the house will be empty, won't it?
Naturally.
Well, then, you'd better get our bags out of the car, Rodney.
Your bags?
You're staying here? For a day or two, to straighten things out.
Oh, there's nothing to straighten.
Yeah, Carl and I can take care of all the sordid details.
We're staying, and that's that, Imogen. We insist. If you like, I'll drive you to the station.
But we're not going anywhere.
You mean you're staying, too?
Well, of course.
But looks like the beginning of a cozy party.
Sure does. Well, I'm going to hit the old sack. How about you, Imogen?
Yes, I think I'll turn in, too.
But this hour is not 10 yet.
Well, I usually read something before I go to sleep.
We've taken the East Room, Cousin Robert.
Well, we'll find something for ourselves when we're ready to go to sleep.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, I like that. He always reads a book before going to sleep. Why, that illiterate ape never read a book in his life.
They're cooking something up, Robbie. I can feel it in my bones. They know the money's in this house just as we do.
For the moment, we're working in a supposition that they don't.
Well, what are we going to do now?
Wait.
For what?
Midnight. When they'll both be fast asleep. And then we'll begin our search in Aunt Victoria's room. Now, she may have left something around, a scrap of paper, perhaps, or even a diagram, showing where the money's hidden.
Oh, do you believe she'd do a thing like that?
But how should I know? We've got to track that fortune down tonight.
midnight, Carl.
Do you think they're asleep?
They should be by now.
I got a hunch they know as much about this hidden dough as we do, Imogene.
Well, as long as they don't know where it is, we can beat them to the punch.
Well, we don't know where it is either.
Well, we'll find out. Now, suppose you were Aunt Victoria.
Oh, but I'm not.
Oh, I know you're not, you fat head. Suppose. Where would you hide your money?
Under the mattress, maybe.
Oh, you make me sick.
But I was only trying to help.
All right. Let me do the brain work around here. In my opinion, that cash must be buried somewhere in the cellar.
Huh? Why the cellar?
It's as good a place as any other, isn't it?
Well, come on. Where?
Down to the cellar.
What, at this hour?
Do you want to wait till tomorrow morning, stupid, so Cousin Rodney and his wife can join us? We're going to start with the cellar and work our way upstairs. That cash is somewhere in this house, and I'm going to get my hands on it. It's the last thing I ever do. There is nothing in our closet, Rodney.
Look under the rugs next. Wait.
Wait,
did
you find something?
Yes.
What?
It looks like
a diamond. Luck. He's undoubtedly mentioned the money in there.
Let's have a look at some of the entries. Here's one.
Monday, June 11th. Felt a bit better today. Had a visit from my nephew Rodney and his wife. That made me feel worse.
Well, I like that.
Here's another.
Thursday, June 28th. Made a decision about the will. There won't be any. I shall make up my mind exactly how to dispose of my money by October.
October? Turn to the October entries, Rodney.
Yes. Here they are.
And look at this.
Saturday, October 14th. Still haven't arranged the disposing of my estate. My loving nephews and nieces are waiting like vultures for my demise. But I shall try not to accommodate them too quickly.
What did I tell you? The old battle axe.
Celia, read this.
Monday, October 29th. I'm getting weaker by the hour, but able to attend to my own affairs. I checked the money today. Still safe behind the fountain.
The fountain! That's it!
Yes, but what fountain is she talking about?
Oh, the one in the garden, of course.
But that hasn't been used in years.
Which makes it an even better place for your aunt to hide her cash.
Yes, I think you're right, Celia.
I know I am.
It's probably buried in the ground somewhere. We'll need a spade.
We can find one in the cellar, Rodney.
Good, let's go.
Well, Carl?
These walls are solid, Imogene.
Just like your skull.
Oh, well, I'm doing my best, honey. Look, we've gone through this cellar inch by inch. There isn't anything down here except mine.
Carl.
Huh?
Put out that flashlight, quick. Whoa. Get behind those barrels. Somebody's coming.
What? Who?
Oh, the vampire, Celia. I can't see the step.
Oh, is this better?
I think I saw a spade behind those barrels.
Oh, Rodney, be careful. The
broken
barrel. Oh, Rodney.
Oh.
Are you all right?
It's my ankle. I think I sprained it. You held that lamp badly on purpose, Celia.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
You'd like to see me break my neck, wouldn't you, so you get all that money yourself?
One more remark like that and you'll never see me again as long as you live.
As long as I see that money, I don't give a hoot what I did.
What'd you say?
Help me to my feet. Let's keep going if both my legs are broken. All right.
Now, there's a spade, Rodney, standing against the wall.
This door leads to the garden. Now, follow me.
Don't worry, I will. Well, put your light on, stupid.
Hmm? Well, they're going into the garden with a spade, Jean. Yeah,
too bad he didn't break his neck. But it made things easier.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what they're doing through the window. Hmm?
They're digging. There's a fountain.
Yeah. See, they must know something, Imogene.
Yeah. You think they found out where Aunt Victoria hid her money?
That lily-fingered pest wouldn't work like that for anything else. Well, what do we do?
Look,
Hmm?
You remember those pills I got for my toothache?
The toothache? Oh,
They're as good as knockout drops. We'll give the two of them a Mickey Finn and walk out with the cash.
Baby, you're a genius.
You just leave it to me. Where's the liquor?
Well, I got a bottle in the suitcase.
Well, now look, keep an eye on them and see what happens. I'll go up and set the stage in the drawing room. And make sure you don't lose sight of them.
Don't you worry, Imogene. I'll stick like glue.
Faster, Celia.
Oh. Digging as fast as I can. What about you? You've been sitting there just watching me for the past 10 minutes.
My ankle hurts me.
Well, so does my back.
You've gone deep enough on that side. Cry the others.
You're giving me orders, are you? Well, I'm through.
What do you mean?
If you want to dig any deeper, you're going to do it yourself. I've dug at least 3 feet around this idiotic fountain. All I've come up with are worms. There isn't any money here at all.
Maybe you're right. But she did mention a fountain.
Your Aunt Victoria may have been an odd one, but would she be queer enough to put her money underneath the ground?
Why would she mention a fountain if she... Celia.
Well?
There is another fountain.
Oh, where?
In the drawing room. Why didn't I think of that before?
In the draw... You must have inherited your Aunt Victoria's insanity.
No. The picture, there's a painting of a washerwoman at a fountain. It's hanging just over the fireplace.
Well, Rodney, you're right.
There must be a wall safe just behind that picture, Celia.
Oh, darling, I knew you'd think of something brilliant.
Come on, let's go. Celia, look.
What is it?
There's a light on inside the house on the first floor.
Well, that's the drawing room.
Yes, Imogene must be awake with her husband.
If they find out about that picture, Rodney...
They won't. Celia, you have some sleeping pills, haven't you?
Yes. In my bag, upstairs.
Well, get hold of them.
What do you intend to do?
You suggest a drink and slip a good dose of the pills into both their glasses.
What a perfectly splendid notion, darling.
If you make it a good big dose, they'll be out in no time at all. Then you and I can see what's behind that picture at our leisure. Now, come on. We'll get this grime washed off our hands first and then to work. The chase is almost over.
Just come back to the house. They've gone upstairs.
Did they find it, Carl?
No. I don't think so. I didn't see them find anything anyway.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Thought they'd save us the trouble of looking for it ourselves. Anyway, if we can get them down here for the snort, we can make certain they won't bother us for the rest of the night.
But you made the drinks?
Yes, I did. Now look, stupid. The two glasses on the right are the spiked ones. Make sure you don't take one of those.
Oh, heavens, no. All right.
And look, do me a favor, will you please? Straighten that picture out over the fireplace.
Picture?
The one with the fountain in it. Crooked. The only thing that sets my teeth on edge is a crooked picture on the wall.
All right. Now, take it easy. Imogene.
What is it?
Look at this.
Hmm?
Oh, underneath the picture. It's a wall safe.
The money must be in there.
It's open, Imogene. It's open. What luck.
What? Shut that safe and push the picture back.
They're coming.
Well. You folks still up?
We couldn't sleep somehow.
Oh, neither could we.
Well, we were just going to call you two to have a drink with us.
I brought a bottle.
Well, isn't that nice of him, Rodney?
Yes, the drink's just what I need to quiet my nerves.
Oh? What makes you so nervous?
Oh, nothing in particular.
I see you've already prepared the drinks, Imogene.
Yes, we heard you coming down, Celia. Well, let's pass them around. Carl?
Oh,
let
yes,
me help Paula. You. You are, dear.
Well, thank you, Celia.
Carl?
Hey, thank you.
Here's yours, Imogene.
Thank you. Carl, would you like my cigarette, please? I have no matches.
Sure, honey, boy, sure.
Okay,
I slipped them in while my back was turned.
Well, now, here's a toast.
What should we toast, Carl?
Our luck.
Oh, a splendid suggestion.
Yes. Here's to our luck.
It gets better day by day. Well, bottoms up.
Oh, good. Splendid.
Never tasted such elegant scotch.
Carl only buys the best.
Well.
We're all standing around as if we were waiting for something to happen.
Yes. Aren't we, though?
Oh, come on, folks, loosen up.
How about I mix another round?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's 2 o'clock.
Hmm? There's two of what?
Carl.
Yes?
What's the matter, Field?
Well, I don't know. I feel sleepy. Awful sleepy.
Maybe you need another drink.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Another drink. That'd be great.
Carl.
Well, fancy that. The poor chap passed out cold.
Carl. Carl, wake up.
You better let him sleep it off. Too much drink, probably. Right, Celia? Celia. She's fast asleep, too.
Yes. Maybe she's had a bit too much to drink. Well, what are you staring at, Cousin Rodney?
You. I see two of you, Imogene.
Do you?
That drink. You drugged my drink. And Celia's, too.
Yes, I did. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Now you're seeing double.
Our drink. You put something in our drink, too.
You're not the only smart one in the family, Cousin Imogene. That'll fix you. Just stay there, Cousin Imogene, and sleep it off. When you wake, I'll be far away. Far away. With the money. In the box. Cash money in the box. Gotta stay awake. Got to keep my eyes open. A million. Sheet of a million. What's this? Sheet of paper. What's the sheet of paper? What to say?
To whom it may concern, and it certainly concerns 4 very grasping people I happen to know. I have chosen to give my money to charity, and to my nephews and nieces, who have probably all but torn each other apart by now, I leave each to each other, and to their own nasty, greedy little minds. Your favorite aunt, Victoria.
No one has.
In the animal world, there is the hunter and the hunted, hound and fox, hawk and sparrow, chicken and worm. But who is to judge precisely which is the pursuer or the pursued as we enter the chase? The Chase was created and written for the National Broadcasting Company by Lawrence Klee. Heard in the cast were Lucille Wall, Vera Allen, Sarah Curtin, Scott Cotsworth, and Ivor Francis. The Chase is directed and transcribed by Fred Way. Fred Collins speaking. Next week, listen to Jailbreak, in which a horde of rioting prisoners forms an exciting background for The Chase.